defender of the working class majority, Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. So some good news from the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. They report that the big U.S. banks, first quarter profits, $56 billion. Wow. Record, $56 billion first quarter. Now, they're saying that the tax breaks, the big tax windfall that the Trump administration and the Republicans gave them, helped a little bit. But we, even without the tax breaks, still big banks would have seen $49 billion in net income, also a record. So on this day when the FDIC people tell us of how wonderful the banking industry is doing, I can't even believe I'm about to say this. Our Congress decides it was a good idea to set up what I believe will be the next great recession slash depression, like we saw in 2008, because I guess we're rolling back some of the Dodd-Frank, the job-killing, profit-killing regulations. Remember, $56 billion in a quarter. I gotta wonder just how onerous and how devastating are these regulations. And here to answer that question, tell us how things are going, I've asked Greg Gelsinas to come talk with us. Greg is a research assistant there with the economic team at the Center for American Progress. Greg, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on, Rick.
I got to be honest with you. I think it's kind of ironic that on the day the big banks are saying, or the FDIC is saying, hey, record profits. I think it's kind of ironic that the House, you know, says, yeah, we're gonna do this. Let's get rid of those regulations and let the banks go.
Yeah, well, Congress lately has had a real knack for irony. You know, if you remember back when the Senate voted on this same bill and passed the same bill, it was 10 years to the week of the collapse of Bear Stearns, one of the first real cataclysms that set off the global financial crisis. And as you said, today, as the House voted to send this measure to President Trump's desk, the FDIC reported that banks, you know, had an income of $56 billion. Just absolutely smashing previous records. And even without, as you mentioned, even without the boost that they received from the tax bill, it still would have broken previous records. So this idea that Dodd-Frank is somehow crushing banks and they're absolutely drowning under the burden of regulation just isn't true. And even if you look at the community bank figures, community banks increased profit substantially, increased lending substantially. So it showed, it painted, the FDIC numbers painted a picture of real health in community banks as well as big banks.
Now, I mean, I look at this and, you know, I asked the question because, you know, at the beginning I was talking about my 401k. My 401k, I've kind of have a lost decade because in 2007, yeah, I had about as much in there as I have now. And you're talking over a decade later. I just got back what I lost because of these big banksters and these criminals who crashed our economy. And now we're doing all of the same stupid stuff that Clinton and Bush did back in, you know, 99 and in 2001 with deregulating and tax cutting and all of this stuff. It just seems to me that we're reliving some bad history here.
Absolutely. And you lost a decade on your 401k like millions of Americans did. But honestly, you're one of the lucky ones. There were so many people who, when they saw that number, you know, in their 401k dwindling, that sold off, you know, those stocks, those bonds, just to make sure that they had at least a little something left to live on. And those people didn't enjoy sort of the resurgence of the economy and the stock market in the decade since. So, you know, millions of Americans lost a decade, and that's awful. But millions more Americans never even experienced that rebound in the stock market because they sold, you know, and just in the depths of fear, you know, when we were at the pits of the financial crisis.
No, I mean, that's an excellent point. I mean, but, you know, I just look at this and I'm, you know, do we ever learn? I mean, is it possible? I mean, after the Great Depression, Glass-Steagall came in and was fairly sound and kept us from major collapses until 99, when Graham Leach Bliley, or whatever the economic financial development, whatever they called that act, until then, and things were fairly stable. And then it was, hey, wild, wild west for a couple years, and then collapse. Are we going back to this? How bad did they undo the Dodd-Frank? You know, what are we expecting?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a significant step in the wrong direction. You know, the centerpiece provision in the bill increases Dodd-Frank Act's $50 billion threshold up to $250 billion. And so that would deregulate 25 of the largest 38 banks in the United States. And I wish I could tell you that, you know, those banks within that universe of $50 billion to $250 billion really had nothing to do with the financial crisis and will be okay, you know, not having them under enhanced scrutiny. But if you remember a bank called Countrywide, which was a pillar of the financial crisis, that was a $199 billion bank. So, you know, this idea that that universe of banks is small is just not true. And to put a fine point on that, these banks between $50 billion and $250 billion in assets took $47 billion in TARP bailout funds during the financial crisis. So the U.S. government thought that this universe of banks was crucial to upholding the financial system. And so now, just 10 years after the crisis and less than 10 years after Dodd-Frank, the idea that we're going to loosen the rules on these same banks is just insane.
No, and that's exactly the word that I was thinking of. It's just plain insane. Now, I can see, you know, some of the smaller banks, if you want to promote small community banks, which I do, I think is a great idea. I'm also in favor of state banks. I would love to see Pennsylvania do what North Dakota did. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things we could be doing that we're not, because, you know, this universe of banks, they've got a stranglehold. They've got so much power over our policies, which again, you know, you ask any, the average person, they're not pro-bank. So I'm looking at this going, why was this such a priority that, you know, virtually all the Republicans and a good number of Democrats voted for it in the House?
Yeah, I hate to add one more, you know, kind of awful impact of this bill, but a lot of proponents of the bill were, you know, are rightfully concerned with community bank consolidation, the decline in community banks over time. And that's a trend that has really persisted since the 1980s. And there are a lot of factors that go into that. Unfortunately, some of the key provisions in this bill would actually exacerbate that problem, because now it's giving free rein for banks, let's say, in the $30 to $40 billion range to grow above $50 billion because they're no longer worried about enhanced oversight. How does a $40 billion bank grow? It gobbles up your local $500 million community bank. It buys up your $2 billion community bank. So, you know, there's a consensus view among Wall Street analysts on the business impact of this bill, and it's that it's going to actually exacerbate community bank consolidation. You know, in terms of priorities, I think it's very clear what Republicans in Congress and the administration, what their priorities are. One, tax cuts. Two, taking away your health care. And now three, rolling back rules on the very largest banks in the U.S.
So let me get this straight, because, you know, you talked about the 30 to 40 billion, you know, billion range. Are they under more scrutiny under these new rules than would the 50 to $250 billion banks? I mean, is that how I'm hearing this? The people with the lower end, they're going to be scrutinized greater than the people who are above them?
No, so actually now, you know, a bank around $20 billion, $30 billion, $40 billion will face the same exact scrutiny as a bank that has $200 billion. And so whereas, you know, today, a bank that has $200 billion faces far more scrutiny, you know, than a bank with $30 or $40 billion, that's no longer going to be the case under the bill.
See, because I think the bigger you are, the more scrutiny you should have, because the
Absolutely.
More, if you do go down, like you pointed out with Countrywide, the reverberation effect across the economy was just devastating. The number of people who lost their homes, you know, all of the shenanigans that went on. I'm sorry, I'm not a too big to fail guy. I think we need to have much smaller. If you believe in competition, if you believe in the free market, these massive banks should not exist.
Yeah, you know, it was certainly a principle in Dodd-Frank. It's certainly a principle that Obama administration regulators tried to put in place, is that the larger you are, the more systemic you are, the more enhanced the oversight is. Because really the mission of Dodd-Frank, the mission of financial regulators, at least during the Obama administration, was to limit the chances and limit the severity of future financial crisis. And frankly, we probably didn't go far enough. So the idea that, you know, at this point in the economic cycle, when risks are starting to build again in the financial sector, when the economy is heating up, that we would actually go in the opposite direction. Again, I'll use the word insane.
No, it absolutely is. You're spot on. So, you know, the way I'm looking at this is, The way it appears to me is we're going to see much more speculation, much more of these complicated financial products that Alan Greenspan said we shouldn't be regulating because they're so complicated that regulators, can't regulate them. And I'm going, I got to be honest, if they're so complicated that regulators can't regulate them, maybe we shouldn't have them.
Yeah, and I think we, unfortunately, we can not only take into account these legislative changes, which on their own are quite dangerous, the Trump-appointed financial regulators have started to use their own discretion in rolling back post-crisis rules. So the combined impact of these legislative changes and the deregulation coming from financial regulators, or financial deregulators, they should be called themselves, is just going to be such a dangerous, confluence. We're expecting, I think, right before the start of June to see a Volcker rule proposal, a rewrite of the Volcker rule, which news reports about what that will include really show, a material dismantling of the rule. And that will introduce a lot of those risky activities that you just mentioned back into the banking system.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this, and again, I'm a Glass-Steagall fan. I thought we should have gone back to that, a clear dividing line between good old-fashioned boring banking where I go get a mortgage or I go get a car loan or I put my pennies in for a savings account, and then the speculative gambling side. I read something, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this, that it's evidently this is going to allow these big banks to include municipal bonds in what's required in whatever the assets they're supposed to have. So is this possibly we're taking municipal bonds, which are supposedly very stable and very trustworthy, and putting them in with gambling money?
Yeah, so that's one change in the bill was to count those municipal bonds towards, and to use a wonky regulatory term, count towards the liquidity coverage ratio, which is a new liquidity regulation to make sure that banks have assets that they can quickly turn into cash. So that was certainly one of the changes. I'm not quite as concerned about that change compared to some of the other changes. Again, this is a massive package, and I could, rattle off 20 things that I'm concerned about, but I think this wasn't necessarily at the top of the list.
Okay, because one of those, when I first saw that, I'm going, municipal bonds are fairly stable. Why would you want to put that with all of the other assets? I mean, you don't gamble away the food money. You don't gamble away your rent money. If you want to gamble, you use that with the money you got over there, not with everything else.
Yeah, and I think the biggest worry for me in terms of, inviting those risky activities, that Wall Street casino back, setting that back up and running, really is this upcoming Volcker Rule proposal. Because what the Volcker Rule tried to do is sort of, I think, the statutory writers of the rule talked about this as a Glass-Steagall-like, that they were trying to, take the modern banking system and apply those principles to it, that, if you're a bank and you have access to, FDIC taxpayer-insured deposits, that you weren't going to be, gambling in the market.
No, I definitely don't want that because I don't want to be backing that up. But so let me ask you a last line of questioning then, because I'm fearful that we're heading down that path to where in the next 5, 6, 10 years, we see the next big collapse. Because I remember saying this stuff back when Bush was president, that, they gave away massive amounts of tax breaks. All of this deregulation had happened under the Clinton era, and you ended up seeing all of this speculation and all of the mortgage stuff that went on and all that shenanigans. And then, boom, the bottom fell out. Am I on a track, or do you think I'm being too cynical or too hyperbolic, I guess? I'm curious your thoughts.
No, I think, I wish more people, in advance of the 2007-2008 financial crisis were waving their arms up and down in front of policymakers. I think, it's unclear when and if, these changes will come back to bite us, because we're dealing in probabilities here. We're increasing the likelihood of another crisis, but I can't tell you if that's going to happen in a year or 5 years. So unfortunately, we'll just have to wait and see. And if we're lucky, progressives will take back power, perhaps in Congress, perhaps in the executive branch, and we can, make sure that we strengthen financial regulations instead of rolling them back.
Yeah. But here's the thing. As you started off with at the beginning, $56 billion in one quarter. These regulations weren't hurting anyone.
No. I mean, that argument to me has been, if it wasn't debunked already because banking profits over the past several years have continued to set records, it was debunked today. And how fitting on the day that Congress, you know, using one of the arguments that big banks have, you know, big banks, small banks alike, have been drowning under the regulations of Dodd-Frank, that they just absolutely obliterated the previous profit record.
Yeah, hurt me like that anytime you want. Greg, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. If you want to check out Greg's work, we'll get a link out on some of his writings. He's a research assistant with the Center for American Progress with their economic policy team. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.